It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A research group that supports abortion rights, the Guttmacher Institute, it publishes state-by-state analysis now on how people travel out of states with abortion bans into neighboring states with protected abortion access. So we examine the findings, especially what's transpired between Wisconsin and Illinois, and you can take part in the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Talk us here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Isaac Maddow-Zimmet is a data scientist at the Guttmacher Institute. Isaac, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your institute found abortions grew in the first half of this year by 46,000 compared to the first 6 months of 2020. How is the Guttmacher Institute tracking abortions?
Yeah, so I think it's important to give a little bit of context about Guttmacher's history of measuring abortion. We've been measuring abortion in the United States for over 50 years. Our first census of abortion providers was in 1974, the year after the Roe v. Wade decision. And typically, we've done that by reaching out to every single abortion provider in the United States and asking them for the number of abortions they provided in the past year. That's a huge effort. That's a huge effort for us. That's also a huge effort for providers. And we've typically done that once every 3 years. And our most recent round of that was from 2020. One thing post-Dobbs that we've really been grappling with is there's really a need for data that is a lot more recent than that. 2020 is a long time ago. And it's a long time ago, both in the context of abortion provision and in the context of a lot of things that have changed in people's lives. And so we designed a study that let us produce estimates that are more recent and more timely, that are not just for a full calendar year, but are for a particular month. So we can track the impact of policy changes that are changing month to month and sometimes even week to week. The other thing that we tried to balance with that is that a lot of abortion providers are under an enormous amount of pressure right now, both in terms of increased caseloads and also in terms of folks wanting to do research, media requests. They are dealing with a lot. And so we wanted to design a study that let us collect those data and provide the data that people need while minimizing the burden on abortion providers that are really doing so much else. So we did that by developing a new methodology where we sample abortion providers every month. Mm. We collect data from them. And then we collect data from this long history that we have of collecting abortion data in the United States, where we have data from a specific facility that maybe goes back decades. Mm-hmm. In a large statistical model to produce monthly estimates.
And so you have a lot more research here, a lot more nuance that you're able to view. But you say in your report, it doesn't tell the whole story to give a clear narrative on abortion trends in America. Why is that?
Well, I think one thing that's really important to keep in mind here is the comparison we're making in the report is with 2020. And when we're making a comparison to 2020, it's not capturing the impact of Dobbs in isolation. It's capturing a mixture of factors. One of them is that abortion counts had been increasing in many states starting in 2019, continuing into 2020, and then for some states continuing to 2021. Some of our data is capturing some of that increase that was already happening. It's also capturing the impact of SB8 in Texas, which already had a seismic impact on abortion in the South. And then even when we're talking about the impact of Dobbs, we're talking about a mixture of things. We're talking about the impact of bans on one side, but we're also looking at the impact of positive policies that states have passed that potentially have made abortion easier to access for their residents or for residents of other states traveling to their state. And when I say policies, I mean both legislative policies as well as things like telehealth, which really wasn't a major factor in the abortion landscape in 2020, but now might have increased access really substantially, especially for folks living in rural areas or for people who might not have been able to access a clinic otherwise. So when we're talking about that change, it's a mix of all those factors, and it can be hard to disentangle them. That said, in border states, states bordering states with bans, the increase we're seeing is so drastic that we really know that it is primarily driven by travel from states with bans.
How much of the increase of abortions in Illinois, in Michigan, in Minnesota are from Wisconsin residents crossing the border as Wisconsin's 1849 ban is in the courts?
Yeah, so we don't have precise estimates of that right now. So we know the overall increase in Illinois, which has been fairly large, and some of those assuredly are folks from Wisconsin traveling to get care, Illinois. But we don't have specific numbers. That's something that we're going to have, in the coming months.
And are you tracking medication abortions and procedural abortions? Like, what is left out of this estimate?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're ca capturing both medication abortions and procedural abortions. And when we're talking about medication abortions, we're capturing medication abortions that are provided in health facilities as well as through telehealth. So that might be telehealth from a brick and mortar facility or telehealth from a virtual clinic that might not have a brick and mortar facility. What we're not capturing is self-managed abortion. So situations where people might be ordering pills from a pharmacy outside the US or obtaining them from a community network, that is very difficult to measure. And that's not something that we're able to measure in this work.
Isaac Maddow-Zimmet is a data scientist at the Guttmacher Institute. You can join in with your questions, your comments along the way as we look at abortion trends in the nation and here in Wisconsin. The number to call in is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Isaac, then how do you explain the increase of abortions after abortion rights were overturned and more than a dozen states banned access after the fall of Dobbs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, one of the things that's tricky when we're speaking nationally is that it's a mixture of all these factors. In addition to the COVID pandemic, which might have changed people's underlying motivation to prevent pregnancy or to get pregnant, which of course also affects abortion counts. But when we're talking about states that border ban states and those really big increases, we know that people are traveling. And we know that that travel comes with really significant obstacles often. That comes with financial obstacles. It often can be very costly to travel for care. It also comes with logistical obstacles. People need to get childcare if they already have children. They need to ask for time off work. And people are often only able to obtain those, to overcome those obstacles because of a lot of support from a lot of different folks, including abortion funds, who really have been providing an enormous amount of support over this time for people to make that travel possible. I think one thing that we're concerned about is whether that's sustainable in the long term. Really making that travel possible has required an almost unprecedented amount of support.
So, if the U.S. Supreme Court's decision that there is no constitutional right to an abortion, if that stands, do you expect that the number of abortions will start to decline around the country?
I think we don't know. I think what we know for a fact is that there are people who want abortions who are unfortunately unable to obtain them. And we know that in a lot of ways through common sense, in that we know that the barriers to access are really high, especially for people who live very far away from a close clinic. And we know that some people will not be able to overcome those obstacles. I think that in terms of predicting the future, we're very cautious about it. We truly don't know.
So, some groups supporting abortion rights are responding to new restrictions by offering services by mail. Have you dug into that? Has the Guttmacher Institute been able to track abortions performed in this way?
Yeah, so I think, as I said before, we do include abortions provided through telehealth or through virtual clinics. Those are included in our counts. We don't split those out. There's been other research efforts, including the WeCount effort by the Society of Family Planning, that has shown that the proportion of abortions provided by those methods has increased quite substantially.
So in this month, I understand you released the period from January through July, looking at those numbers and comparison numbers. What visibility might come out in the next estimate?
Yeah, absolutely. So this past month, we released numbers from January through June, in which there really weren't major policy changes in many states. Now, our next month's estimates will include July. Those will start to capture the impact of the North Carolina 12-week ban. The estimates after that will include August, which will start to capture the impact of the Indiana ban, and partially the impact of the South Carolina 6-week ban. And that's really what this study is designed to do, to be able to give close to real-time information on the impact of these policy changes this year.
Where do you take this research next? What are you trying to find out about abortion in America?
Yeah, I think that one of the big things that we're going to be looking at next is specific patterns of travel, to be able to track specifically where people are going and decompose some of this kind of change. The other thing that we ask about and we're really looking to look at is how gestational duration has changed, whether increased barriers have shifted people's ability to access abortion to later in pregnancy.
One quick question here. The Guttmacher Institute recently asked thousands of people how they define an abortion and found that there's no agreed definition. How did you define it for your data collection?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting piece of work that that my colleague Alicia van de Vussey led. And it was really looking more at what the public perception of what an abortion is, and found an enormous amount of variation in what people considered an abortion. I'd say in a clinical setting, there's more agreement about what is typically considered abortion. We have a standard definition that we use, which matches what the CDC uses as well.
Isaac, thank you for joining us.
Great, thank you so much.
Isaac Maddow-Zimmet is a data scientist at the Guttmacher Institute, a reproductive health research group that supports abortion rights. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.